Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of the parables that Jesus told to his listeners had very earthy applications. That makes sense, since we often talk about parables being earthly stories that reveal a heavenly truth. He could simply point out there into the field or at a lake and make a comparison with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like that sower over there scattering seed on the ground, that fisherman out in the boat catching fish, or that tree with all of the birds. In our text today, there are two parables. Jesus first compares the kingdom of God with seed that, when it is scattered on the ground, grows automatically. And then also the parable of the mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds that becomes a large tree-like shrub housing the birds of the air. The ways of both of these parables, the ways in which God works in his kingdom, are mysterious. But one thing is certain: from simple beginnings come a profound ending. A grain of wheat producing many grains and a huge crop, a tiny mustard seed producing a great bush that provides shelter to the birds of the air. A little acorn becomes a huge oak tree. Two little cells make a baby. A simple word of God brings forth faith in those who hear. The miracles of the physical world are paralleled in the spiritual world. Or maybe we should say it, the miracles of heaven take place also in the things of earth. Not by coincidence, but because the same God is God and Lord and creator of both. Jesus says he speaks in parables here not to confuse those who are listening, but so that those who are listening can actually understand, so that they can comprehend a kingdom that they cannot see. But it doesn't always work, does it? Even his disciples misunderstand what he's saying. They need him to explain the parables to them in private. Still, the truth is here. A kingdom that was promised to Adam and Eve and to all the patriarchs and prophets has finally been ushered in with Jesus' incarnation in the womb of Mary and his birth in Bethlehem. The kingdom of God is at hand. This kingdom, with its simple beginning as a promise, as a word made flesh, has an unimaginable ending. From the garden, through the desert of sin and into the promised land, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. But if you remember the ascension, at the Mount of Olives, the 11 men stood there gawking as Jesus was taken up into heaven, some still with doubts, the text tells us. Things simply didn't look very promising for this little kingdom. But here we are today in Billings, Montana, thousands of miles and many generations away from that mountain and from those men. And yet the incarnation, crucifixion, death, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is still being proclaimed to all the world for the forgiveness of sins. This kingdom that began with a tiny seed has grown into a large bush and plant. His kingdom is still being revealed to those who do not believe so they can see and understand. Sinners are still hearing that there is good news, forgiveness. They are still being ushered in by unremarkable drops of water connected to those simple, humble words. All of this is just as these parables teach. If you put a seed into the ground, you set in motion a mysterious and even miraculous process by which there will one day be a plant or a bush or a tree. It matters not which kind of seed you sow. It will germinate and grow. So it is with God's word. Once it is planted, something will happen. The point of the first parable is that once the seed is sown in the earth, it produces automatically. In Greek, this is the word automate. So by itself, so it is with God's word. Once the seed is sown, it does its work. God does the work. The point of the second parable is that from such a small seed comes a huge result. It isn't the earthly sower that makes the thing grow. The seed is sufficient for itself. It produces by itself. And it isn't the earthly sower that brings the results either. The kingdom's growth is miraculous, and it's all God's doing. Speaking on this very text, Luther says of the Reformation, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word of God did everything." That's quite the confession. It's the same confession that we should make. The word of God does everything. But because the seed grows automatically, that is no excuse for the sower not to sow, for the gardener not to fertilize and water, for the church not to invite and teach and love. Those are the vocations that God has given us. That is our duty. Still, God, through the death of the seed in the ground, brings forth life, and He gives growth at the appropriate and perfect time. Jesus tells us these things in this parable today so that we do not become impatient with His word, so that we do not start looking for ways to speed up the growth of His church, if that were even possible. But it seems many have missed the lesson here. There are pastors and churches that are only concerned about numbers and growth, and so they constantly rebrand themselves, moving from one program to the next until they find something that they think works, humanly speaking, maybe even simply luring and stealing away other Christians from their congregations so that they can claim that they are growing. But what farmer plants his seed in the evening and expects that there will be a harvest the next day? Those who have been planted and nurtured for many long years themselves should know better. They should trust Jesus' word to do what He has promised, to grow His kingdom as He sees fit, to trust that His word will not return to Him void, but will fulfill the purpose for which He sent it. What happens here on Sunday mornings and at other times may seem incredibly unremarkable, outdated, or maybe even old-fashioned. Confessing sins and being absolved, reading Scripture, preaching a sermon, singing hymns, administering and receiving the humble sacraments. So, so very ordinary. But these unremarkable beginnings produce miraculous endings. In these things, faith in Christ is created and nourished and sustained. Sins are washed away, and the kingdom of heaven is open to all who believe. In these things, you have been ushered out of the kingdom of death and into the kingdom of life. Not because of me, not because of any power that is in you, but because once the word is planted, God gives growth. He knows this well because He is the seed of which He speaks. He is the seed that had to fall into the ground and die in order to give life to His church. He had to go to the cross, carrying the sins of the world, and pay for them with His own precious blood in order to be raised from the dead and give an eternal home to all those who believe in Him. I think it's instructive to know that the rabbis of Jesus' day sometimes referred to the Gentiles as the birds of the air. When you know that and then hear again this parable, it becomes clear to us that when Jesus says this mustard seed grows to such a plant that it is able to give housing for all the birds of the air, that Jesus is speaking against the Jews who think that only they will be saved. Jesus has not come just for the Jews, but for the Jews and the Gentiles, for all people. It is clear that Jesus' church, his kingdom, with its unremarkable beginnings, has produced a great tree that provides shelter for all who will believe in him. In this holy Christian and apostolic church, there is enough good news, enough forgiveness for the whole creation, that from one seed that fell into the ground and died and was raised imperishable, you would have this church on earth. If you are concerned with what you see with your eyes regarding Christ's church today, you probably should be. The picture seems pretty bleak. But then you should repent. There is an entire generation, people my age, that are largely missing from the church. But repent and remember these parables. Remember that it is Christ who provides for his church. And you shouldn't trust what you see with your eyes, whether it seems good or bad. God has not called us to sit in judgment on his timing or ways, only to live in our vocations and do what he has given us to do while it is still day. He has called us to be faithful, and he has promised that he will take care of everything. Through these simple things that he gives in his church, through his powerful word, Jesus forgives your sins and he creates and sustains your faith in him. He is the one who has begun a good work in you, and he is the one who brings it to completion in his perfect time, just as he has promised. It is automatic. The results are certain. So whenever you are tempted to doubt, whenever the devil tries to confuse you with his lies, remember that God has caused his word to be spoken into your ears and that he is the one who works faith and gives life. Trust him, for what he has promised, he is doing. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.